One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is Ruined. It's a podcast. We ruin a horror movie for you.
For you. Hallie, how are you?
I'm okay. I took the week off of work, my vacation week, nice. And I did just nothing.
Ugh, nothing is so great.
And you know, and I've talked about my ADHD journey on here before, but I've never been able to not do nothing before, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because I would always be panicking. It's like, okay, I have to use my week off to do a million things.
Be productive, yeah.
And this week I said I'm going to do two things, and I've done I've not finished either of them, but I'm almost finished with both of them.
Nor should you.
So I just did a little bit every day. I got my hair cut. I bought a sandwich.
Hair looks great.
Thank you. And it just feels like a revelation in these trying times. No, but it'd be like, to just do nothing is the greatest trip of all. I wish I was the kind of person, like, it's like being on dating apps. And people are like, I enjoy traveling. I don't enjoy traveling.
I
don't want to do it. I want to stay home. I want to lay down.
I actively hate traveling.
I hate flying. I hate packing. I hate the anticipation. I hate getting to the airport. I hate going to the hotel. I hate every part of it.
Right.
If I could materialize somewhere, obviously I'd love that.
Yes. Yeah. If I could teleport to a beach and then off the beach, that sounds great. I want to be in unless I'm at like a luxury location, I don't want to be in a hotel.
And listen, I'll be honest, I rarely am. Yeah. It's not the kind of vacations I
have. Yeah, I don't have luxury vacation money. So I really hate traveling too. I get it.
So, but that's been real nice. We wanted to, well, Allison, how are you doing before we get into it?
Oh, I'm good. Little allergy season is upon us. And I'm
here too.
I'm already feeling, I'm sure you could hear it in my nose.
You always sound like this. You don't sound
That's good. I always sound like I'm having an allergy attack. I did treat myself. I just had a late night last night and also allergies and I'm just like, and I ordered a sandwich, and I got a what I like to call a luxury lemonade. Well, we talked about this.
Ooh, okay. I refresh my memory.
I got this one. It's a ginger turmeric sparkling lemonade.
That sounds delicious.
I'm sure it's nothing, but I'm like, it brought me back to life. Like, like, the ginger is nice on your stomach. Like, the lemon is, like, alkalized, whatever. It's all good for you, technically. I'm sure it's got, like, a pound of sugar in it or something. But it was delish. It wasn't sweet, though. It was delicious. And I was just
A savory lemonade sounds really good.
Like, it's, like, it was just, like, super tart and kind of spicy. And, like, it's just a hint of sparkling. Like, it's not, like, a soda. It's just kind of got, like, an effervescence kind of after effect. It's like my favorite beverage I've ever had. I don't even know if I like the food at this place.
Okay.
It's just like a coffee shop sandwich, kind of like daytime restaurant in a building near me. And they make the lemon. It's not like a bottled or canned.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really good. And I feel
make it yourself is what I'm hearing.
I guess. I'm like, what's
not you, but somebody could.
Right, yes, somebody.
Hypothetically.
Someone could make this at home. I could not. I can't place exactly what's happening with it, but it's delicious. So that's what's new with me. And then Riz has been seeing ghosts. He's been screaming at the ceiling a lot today. So if that is in the background of this at all, you'll know there are ghosts here. But yeah. I treated him to some strawberries for breakfast because he loves strawberries.
Oh, I didn't know the cats ate fruit. This is
he licks them.
Okay.
Like, it's kind of, that's his beverage. Like, we that both had, delicious. Like, stupid drinks this morning.
Yeah, probably the texture. I feel like the texture of a strawberry would be really satisfying. Cat. So. Also, when you say ghosts, you know that you mean mice in the walls, right?
I would rather it be ghosts. I would prefer ghosts to any critters.
Yeah, because ghosts typically don't leave their shit around, and also they've never been known to spread the plague that we know of.
Yes, that's true. And also, they're already dead, so they won't make a smell when they die in the wall.
Speaking of things that are dead yet alive, our Patreon.
Yes.
Thank you so much, everyone who's been joining this year so far. It's been so great. We've been instructed by the powers that be to please plug the Patreon.
Yes.
And this is it. Depending on what tier, you can have up to 2 more episodes per month.
Yes.
Because we're insane.
We're insane. We record 6 of these a month. It's really? Breakneck.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
I honest to God, having off the week, I'm like, what are we doing with this?
You're watching six movies a month.
How are we keeping this pace?
It's nuts. But also, you're getting episodes a week early, also ad-free episodes, which me personally, I'm all about paying for not watching and listening to ads. I just don't. I can't do it. If you're at the top tier, you get a ticket to the live show every month, which even if you can't watch it, it lives on for 72 hours online. So, like, that's automatically, you know, a piece of the puzzle for you. There's all kinds of movies that people sometimes are begging us to do, and it's, like, surprise. We did. They're on the Patreon. So, and you can join our Patreon, I think, at patreon.com/ruinedpodcast. If that's wrong, I'm sorry. I don't know how to get to it. This is not a podcast of 2 technically savvy people. We're 2 dumb idiots.
Well, what we are is we're the you go into the basement. We're sort of this mammalian creature that you could suckle off our teats, but we're not sentient the way a human is. We still deserve to be treated well, but we're not a lot. We're an alien. We're not on a planet. Yeah, like we're alive, but our intelligence exists elsewhere. But when you suckle, it's not the alien milk. It's simply a description of a horror movie that you could go see and probably have seen because we also have a lot of people who do that and listen.
Yes. So anyway, that's patreon.com/ruinedpodcast. There's a bunch of different tiers you can join. We understand that this is your hard-earned money, and we appreciate it. And we want to make sure that if you're spending money on this podcast because you love it, that we're really giving you something. So full extra episodes, a week early, no ads, live show tickets. It's a fun place.
What more could you ask for?
Probably
more, but again, we're horrifically bad at this.
We don't know what that is. If there's something that you wish we would do on the Patreon, please tell us. We don't know how you should do that, but let us know.
We really are like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 where we're just on a spaceship with no way to contact anyone. Except, of course, we can and we just simply don't know how to. But on that note... speaking of being trapped somewhere, unable to communicate to an outside realm, we are kicking things off. It's May. It's the month of Mother's Day, the month of mothers. So it makes sense you're suckling at our podcast teats.
Yes.
We are kicking things off with a movie that I saw that came out in 2020, but I have yet to do for the podcast. And that, of course, is the movie Relic. Yeah, this is a 2020 movie. It's Australian, so you know I was hyped for that.
Yes.
Directed by Natalie Erica James. And it was based on a screenplay by Natalie Erica James and Christian White. And it stars Emily Mortimer, who I, of course, immediately associate with 30 Rock.
Hollow Bones.
Oh, hello, you remember me? Hollow Bones like a bird? Incredible. Phoebe, I believe is the name of the character.
Phoebe, yes.
So imagine sort of what happened to Phoebe that led her to putting on a British accent and going and tricking Jack Donaghy into marrying her despite having avian bird syndrome, in which you have hollow bones like a bird.
Avian bone syndrome. Yes, yes, yes.
We always like to start things off. We like to have Allison watch the trailer for the movie. Allison, what were your thoughts about the trailer for Relic?
I didn't like that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I did not like watching this. This is in the category. I feel like there are these, like, personal subgenres for me.
Yes.
Which, mm-hmm. like, which is worst thing ever. Like, okay. like movies where I'm just like, there's not a second of this I could watch.
Now, could you flesh this out? Maybe give us, like, is there a visual that leapt out from the trailer?
I mean, the trailer is great, just cutting together kind of, like, you know, what's going on with grandma, and then, like, her cutting meat, and, like, you know, very, like, visceral everyday things. But the one thing that was chilling to me in the scene, but I also don't know what I was looking at, was when Graham is in bed, and Emily Mortimer, mm-hmm. she's like, there's something under the bed, can you check for me? And she does look, and it's like a very, it's so slow. I don't mm-hmm. know what was under the bed. It's so dark that I couldn't really see, like, was there something and what was mm-hmm. it? It seemed like there was something and that it should not have been there. But I didn't like that whole sequence.
There is something, I mean, like, even now, it's a classic for a reason. I feel like the one good shot of it in imaginary as well is when our main character leaned over and looked under the bed.
Yes.
Never not scary, evoking childhood. Also, the idea that someone might be in your bed, still scary as an adult. Horrified to think about. What are they doing down there? Nothing good?
I don't like it at all. And also, like, Riz hangs out under the bed a lot, and I always go looking for him, and I was like, you better be alone down there.
I feel like he would come running out. Like, he would be the first to be upset that someone was under the bed. He would know
first. I do feel like, while he's never going to protect me, he is always going to let me know what's up.
Right.
Like, if someone's here, I will know, because Riz will be running around like a maniac.
Yeah. I grew up with wiener dogs, which I am so obsessed with. They're so good. But, like, they could never defend the family. But, boy, if anyone came within 500 yards of the house, they were letting you know, which I think has some value. Not in this particular film. There's nothing a dog could have done about what's going to happen to these people.
No.
But it would have been nice to have them around, I suppose. We always like to take a baseline scary. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of being an old woman?
I mean, horrifying every single second of the day.
The horror held above every young girl's head, becoming a woman, and then even worse, a woman who's old. Terrifying stuff.
A crone? Yeah, I don't want, like, just like old age is scary to me. I think also, like, because, like, when your mental faculties start to deteriorate, like, it's destabilizing. Like,
Absolutely.
Like, the reality of, like, dementia and Alzheimer's and Lewy, like, all of that stuff is very scary. But, like, in general, like, how do you know when you're losing it?
Yeah.
Like, that's very, and that's, like, maybe not specific to women, but, you know.
Well, yeah, but
add in that you have wrinkles, and my God, what an absolute nightmare.
Listen, you're just shambling around. People look down on shambling, but I enjoy shambling.
I would love to shamble more.
I love to shamble, love to putter. But yes, this is a story of three generations of a family and what happens when they're old. I mean, as someone who I'm turning 40 this year and I have come to the conclusion I'm not going to have children, you know, and I support everyone who wants to have kids, truly, especially if you're queer or trans. You got to try to do whatever you can to try to figure it out. I reject us being cut out from the reproductive project the way they're trying to do, but I do imagine I'm going to end up in sort of a nomad land.
Me too. We can do it together. We're the same age.
Oh, exactly. Well, and that's the best case scenario is that we have six gals shambling around a two bedroom, somebody sleeping on the couch. That's what we're all going to be doing.
I want a commune of old women. That's what I want to be living in.
Done. So we're going to do that.
Great.
Let us know if you want to apply to the commune.
Yes.
At least I will be a lot of lesbians, so I imagine we will be having sex with one another. So we'll just have to figure out the politics of it. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And then after that, it's just a chore wheel, and we're good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let us get into it. Would you like to guess the twist in Relic, Allison?
Guess the twist.
Would you say there is a twist?
No, I wouldn't say there's a twist. So I would say, what do you think happens at the end?
Yes. Okay. I think that there's a dead body in that little house and that grandma has been eating it.
Great. Love it. Perfect.
She's been eating her dead husband.
Love it. Couldn't be happier.
There's a movie.
Now, there's a movie. Copyright. Us. Copyright Ruin Podcast 2024. Do not steal it. let's begin ruining Relic. We see, again, we start with a number of ambient sort of untethered images that come together on that most horrifying of images, a elderly woman's nude body. First we see lights. There's sort of a Christmas lights flickering on and off in a house. A bathtub overflows and pours down. And of course, I as a renter, I'm like, well, the water damage. I mean, my God. Hardwood, you're ruining it. The water spills down the stairs, soaking the carpet, and we see it run onto the first floor. We see Gran, you know, as we previously mentioned, standing nude, clutching a towel, staring into the living room at the Christmas tree. And next to it, a figure stands up from a chair. Relic.
Well, we're off to a running start.
Hell yeah. We follow a car. It holds Kay, who is Emily Mortimer, and her 20-something daughter, Sam. We hear a call that Kay received from someone. It sounds like he's from like a super or like a management company and saying like, hey, no one has seen your mother. The neighbor hasn't seen her for like a week. So we just want to let you know. So they're going up to check on her. This is one of my, for some reason, not like some reason, but of all the chilling fears, I do feel like one of my parents or both of them getting loose and disappearing is terrifying.
It's because so it does scary. Happen.
And once it begins.
I'm putting an Apple tag on my parents the second that I don't feel confident in them.
Barcode, Apple tag, the thing that dogs get. Because we got to keep track of them.
Microchipped.
Everyone doesn't think of it until it happens. And it's like, I'm getting a call letting you know the worst thing's already happened, so you have to come and try to figure out what to do.
Right. Fix the worst thing ever.
Exactly. So they get to the grandmother's house. The grandmother's name is Edna. They call for her. No answers. Luckily, Sam is able to crawl through the dog door, which is a fucking huge dog door.
What kind of dog?
I don't know.
Not a wiener dog.
Not a wiener dog. And also, I'm like, is that an Australian thing? It has like a cover you put over it versus like a smaller one. But let's a Great Dane, I suppose. A big fat ass dog. We see Edna makes and carves candles. So she has like a candle station. So she's always kind of carving them into different shapes, which would be a fun thing to do, you know, after you
retire.
We'll
do it at the commune.
But unfortunately, next to that is the fruit bowl, which is full of rotted fruit. So this woman's been gone for at least a couple days.
Yeah.
Kay tells Sam to wait downstairs, goes in her mother's room. We see a shape under the covers. Emily Mortimer is a great actress. So of course, we see her in that moment realize that her mother is dead and then pull back the covers. It's just the pillows. It's just the pillows. No. Her mother is not in the house. We also see that the house has a bunch of Post-it notes everywhere. So next to her side table, it says, take pills. Girl, I've got mine are affirmational Post-it notes, but I got Post-it notes on my medicine cabinet.
I do have one Post-it note. It's on my front door on the inside, and it just says bathroom candle because I often light a candle in there, and I'm like, oh, I'll forget, and I'll burn this whole building down. So every time I leave, it's like, did you blow out the candle in the bathroom? And it honestly, it's probably saved my and many other people's lives several times.
That's very clever. I will say, now that I am medicated and have some sort of short-term memory, I being able to remember to blow out a candle is a real feather in my cap.
Yeah, look at that. Because
I was, not that I use candles a lot because of exactly that fear, but boy, whatever I did assume that everyone would be dead when I get back.
Yeah, it's a panic, just absolute panic.
Kay and Sam, they walk downstairs, and Kay sees an armchair turned towards the window with a blanket on it. And she reacts like she's seen a dead body, which Sam clocks, but she doesn't know why her mother would be perturbed by that. Like, it's not in and of itself.
It just is a chair.
Yeah. Okay. So Kay tells Sam, stay here, and I'm going to drive and make a police report. So Kay drives to the police station. It's already starting to torrentially rain. So her mother has been gone, and maybe not a full week, but it's at least been a couple days.
Yeah.
And now it's raining, right?
Not great.
And we see Kay sit down with the police officer, and of course she immediately feels guilty because the cop's like, well, how long has it been since you talked to her? Mm. And Kay says it's probably been a couple weeks. He's like, a couple of weeks? She's like, I know. And he's like, well, we talked to your neighbor, Alex. He said he started about a week ago, so we could at least narrow it down. And she gives the police a photo of her mother, Edna, taken last year at her birthday with a little cake. Back at home, Sam's just going through all the rooms trying to, like, look for clues. And her grandmother has a big junk room, so it's, like, full of old files. All the stuff that, like, you know you're going to get to at some point, but it's like, well, it's not going to be this week, so maybe in the future. Old ironing boards, you're like, how do you recycle that?
Fuck if I know.
And she looks at a photo of her grandmother and grandfather, who we can presume has already passed on. It's sort of a garden party. However, as soon as the rain really starts to let in, she hears a sound of knocking or thudding, seemingly coming from inside the wall. Nope. She goes to examine it. It's not the wall. It's, in fact, inside a door, a door which has a lock on the outside, and which opens to a large walk-in closet full of, like, bedding and dry cleaning, you know, sort of the cloth goods.
Yes. A linen closet.
Not something you typically would have to lock from the outside.
Nope. You can have as many towels as you want.
Exactly. They're usually not escaping. And as she turns, she sees the plastic around a hanging suit exhale and inhale. Like, the plastic starts to expand and contract, like the suit is breathing.
I don't like that.
Sam, of course, assumes, oh my God, is my grandmother, like, did she get in the closet? Now she's stuck in there. Shoves all the clothes aside. Instead of her grandmother finds a huge black mold spot on the wall. Now, at this point, I would have told my mother, personally. I mean, they're not close, but it seems like you're obligated to tell your mother, hey, by the way, I saw the dry cleaning breathing.
Yeah, yeah. You got to mention that, even if you're not, you know, in a great place with your relationship.
Exactly. You got to be upfront about that kind of thing. However, she doesn't. Kay returns. They get a pizza. And Kay starts to look, sort of assess that where her mother's mental state based on what status the house is in, right? So she says, oh, mom's still putting out food for Chester. So we know that Chester, they had a dog, and Chester has passed on.
Okay.
So while she, you know, the grandma used to have grandpa and Chester the dog, now she is alone, you know, which is a hard thing. And, you know, as someone who's alone every day, I'm like, I should get a dog, you know, just to get me out of the house.
I mean, Riz the cat keeps me company.
Saves you every day, maybe.
Every day.
Sam says, well, you know, while we're here, Mom, I quit my job at the gallery. The good job, of course, as a woman. Well, the gallery, that's the best place to work.
Of course.
And she's just
she worked at a gallery at 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, sorry. That's Sam.
Her daughter. Her daughter. Okay.
Yes, Phoebe's daughter worked. Well, she would, I'm sure, work at a gallery. Stands to reason. So Sam tells her mother, I left the gallery. I'm just picking up shifts at the bar. And because they're already, like, anxious, they, of course, immediately go into a fight. So Kay's oh, you're just going to work at a bar your whole life? No. It's like, this is not the time or the place.
No.
Also, that's why fights happen, is exactly this. Like, we're going to fight about your career because grandma is missing. The most terrifying thing, other than a kid missing, obviously. But why make a hierarchy? I don't know why I put it like that.
Someone goes missing, that's bad.
And you can tell, like, Sam and her and mom, Kay, they have sort of a frosty relationship, but Kay sort of catches herself and says, thank you for coming with me, and is, like, trying to be acknowledged, this is stressful. So, yeah, I appreciate that, even if Sam is not really giving her any warmth back. And then through the course of the film, they will discover the true meaning of family, I presume.
I hope.
After that. Before bed, Kay looks out the window, and at the end of the property is the woods. So she's thinking, well, if she's not in the house and she's not on the lawn,
she's probably in the woods.
So in the morning, they and a couple of neighbors and the police start to form a search party and go through. And this is not woods. This is forest.
Yeah.
Like, this is thick forest. These are not trails. Nobody's going in there.
Yeah.
Beautiful. But again, like, this is not a nature hike. And her mother at this point is at least been outside, to her understanding,
for several days,
and last night it rained, right? So, you know, Kay is starting to panic, as anyone would, so then she shuts down. So every time you see her, like, she's, you know, in, like, a completely shut down, like, sort of nonverbal state. The police search all day, come up with nothing, they end the search for the day, and the gals return to the house. Again, what can you do with all this anxiety? Kay starts to clean.
That's all you can
right?
do.
So, yeah, so she's cleaning her mother's house. She turns the armchair around, and almost in tears of the chair, and then puts it back in the carpet indent. And we see, like, specifically, like, the chair has been moved, you know. Outside Sam is smoking, and she sees a flashlight coming through the trees, so she's excited and jumps up.
Hey.
It is the neighbor boy, Jamie, son of the aforementioned Alex, who's 18 and has Down syndrome. And I wrote, I don't know if that's important to the movie. It'd be nice if it wasn't, but I presume it is because we don't put enough disabled people in movies. It's just regular roles. So Jamie says, you know, I haven't seen your grandma in a while, but, you know, my dad doesn't really let me come over here anymore. Sam's like, well, what do you mean? But Jamie kind of dodges the question and says, can I drag your cigarette? I am old enough to smoke. So she gives him part of her cigarette and kind of they just end up chatting. Inside, Kay sits down at the piano and starts to play. And she's sort of, like, reliving her childhood, like, going through everything, obviously. And upstairs, Allison, we see a figure leaning around a doorframe, listening to them.
No.
From the second floor. Sam comes inside and says, you know, have you noticed that there are like new locks on every door? Allison, there are new locks on the inside of every door. Even the interior doors, like the cupboard door.
I don't like that.
Not good.
Not good.
And Kate admits to her daughter that
she called me a few weeks ago. She thought someone was coming into the house. Doors were left open, the lights were left on. The armchair had shifted.
Did you tell the police?
She forgets things.
The problem is, like, that's in fact something you can't blow off because it's only going to get... It's something that you have to acknowledge and be like, okay, well, Grandma thinks someone's getting in the house and moving stuff because she's losing track of things. Mm-hmm. Which is another horror movie thing. Is someone, you know, with who's now Medicaid for ADHD is constantly losing things, which is a horror movie of itself. So you understand how it'd be perturbing. Sam is mad at this. He's like, why wouldn't you call me? I could have driven up to come check on her. It didn't have to just be you. But again, they're just fighting because there's something else to do. Like, they're just kind of like on edge. Sam goes upstairs to look through her grandma's room, finds like this big cozy white sweater. And in the pocket of her grandmother's sweater, Sam finds a post-it note, Allison, that says, do not follow it.
Oh, God.
And then a loud thud echoes across the house. Kay hears it too, and it seems to be coming from inside the living room wall. And Kay actually moves aside what I presume is her father's urn to knock on the wall, and the wall knocks back.
You got breathing, dry cleaning, knocking walls. Burn the house down.
Sam, well, that's, I mean, you're absolutely right. Sam runs downstairs to join Kay, and we see right where the knocking seems to be coming from, there's a mold stain on the wall. And behind it, it sounds like something is sliding or walking through the walls. Allison, if that was you, I gotta ask, what would you do?
What would you do?
I mean, I'm burning the house down. Like, this house shouldn't exist. Something's up with the house. Like, we're going to keep looking for Grandma, but, like, she's not coming back here.
Now,
none of us should be here.
Do you think that your mother would be distressed if she accidentally got lost in the woods and we came back, you burned the house down? Do you think that she'd be a little pissed?
Oh, she'd be so mad at me. It would break through. Whatever mental issues she is having and whatever deterioration is happening in her brain, she would fight through that to just be mad at me.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Nothing says summer like a rich, creamy ice cream float from Skyline. Made with two scoops of fresh vanilla ice cream and your choice of Barq's Root Beer, Barq's Red Cream Soda, or any of their Coke products. At participating Skyline locations while supplies last.
Next thing you know, we see Kay is in a dream. And you could tell it's a more brightly lit, sort of vibrant daylight dream. And she sees herself walking up to the house. And the front door of the house is this very beautiful octagonal stained glass window. And sort of like a forest scene with like a stained glass tree. Gorgeous. And the front door swings open. And she finds her mom sitting on her bed. And half of her body is black with mold. So she's kind of rotting. And she's nude, of course.
Yes.
And we pan over the bed. And as we sort of reach over the bed and to the space directly on the floor next to it, we see what I would describe as sort of a dried mummy version of her mom, covered in black mold. And then we cut and see her mother nude pitching over and falling to that spot on the floor. So again, I think Kay's subconscious is working out, okay, your mother probably is dead.
Is dead,
so
yeah.
We're visiting this horrible image and, you know, we're repeating it. In real life, Kay wakes up at the start, looks out the window, again, looking at the tree line, doesn't see anything, lays down next to Sam, and they fall asleep. It's raining again, another night of Grandma outside.
Oh, God, the rain.
And at night, we can hear, while they sleep, sort of sliding and thudding around the house. And then we see Kay and Sam's sleeping faces. and we see a hand caressing Kay's hair while she sleeps.
Hate to see that.
Kay wakes in the morning, and as she wakes, she hears in the kitchen the tea kettle go off. She walks into the kitchen to find her mom. She's filthy, and her feet are disgusting and covered in dirt.
Yeah.
Other than that, she's totally fine. And, of course, she's panicked by that, and Amelia starts to try to ask her mother what happened. Her mother is not really responsive. We hear Kay make a call. It's like, my mother's fine. But
she's fine.
I mean, she's alive. She's alive. And it doesn't look like she's been outside for days. I think she'd be in a worse shape if she was out there in that rain. She would get hypothermia, right? Because I thought when we cut to the feet, it's like, well, we're going to see the feet have frostbite or something.
She's going to, it's going to be like missing toes and stuff.
No, and they're just, it's just covered in dirty filth.
Yeah.
She said, my mother refuses to answer where she was or where she was, like what happened to her. And she was gone for at least 3 days. They call a nurse to come and give her a physical. She's totally fine, except she has a really dark bruise on her sternum. And the nurse says, you know what? You seem totally fine. Frankly, a little shocking, but my advice is don't be alone for the next week or two. And you see Kay practically roll her eyes and sigh. And it's like, oh, brother. It's like, what did you think the nurse was going to say?
Hang out with my mom.
Your mother was gone for 3 days. And no one, she can't even respond where she went. You have to hang out for another week or two. Like, grow up, you know? Kay calls work and from what we could tell is able to get the time off. And she starts to go through her mother's laundry and finds on her mother's nightgown, which she was wearing when she came back, a bloodstain. So, of course.
I mean, of course.
Yeah. And she freaks out. But again, much like in reality, I'm like, oh, no, did somebody take her and hurt her? But because that idea is so horrifying to us, Kay then yells at her mother and demands to know where she was.
Yeah.
And where the blood's from. And from what we could tell is like, it's not that she's really resisting telling. It's that she's not really clear. So you can yell all you want, but what she's giving you is what she has. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we see her, she's back to carving candles in these very beautiful, ornate, like, shapes. Mm-hmm. And sort of blows her daughter off and says, you know, I was out. I had to go out. If I had known you called the police, I would have come back right away. I didn't know you were going to make a big fuss about this. You know, of course, Kay then blows up and was like, what are you talking about? You know, and again, it's just sublimated concern that she's
of course
yelling at her mother who may be sundowning or like she has some sort of problem and you're just gonna yell at her. But again, I'm sure that's so common. Sam comes, intervenes, they all start to get ready for bed, and in the bathroom alone, Edna sort of opens the top of her new nightgown, her fresh nightgown, and sees there's a bruise on her chest, but it's really dark black and it looks suspiciously like the mold spots that have been appearing all over the house.
Well, that's not surprising.
No, not in any sense of the word, Allison. She, of course, covers it back up when Sam comes into her room, which she has tea for her. And while they're there chatting, and again, obviously, like, she has a less fraught relationship with her granddaughter, as you know, all grandparents do. And to give Sam her wedding band that she had. And Sam's like, oh, my God, I can't take this. Like, you want to wear this? And Edna says, you might need it. And your mother's already had a go at it, so I'm not giving it to her, which is fun. Sam goes to find her mother just to check in, and her mom is now in the junk room, and she's starting to box everything up. So she's going through everything, box everything, and is also on her laptop doing work for her actual job. And I was like, they need to take a trip to the container store. That'd be a great bonding experience.
Let's get organized.
Yeah, just spend the next week or two cleaning up the house. That sounds nice. Sam finds a sketchbook of Edna's late husband, and they leaf through it. There's a very cute, childhood drawing of Kay asleep, and he drew the woods, and they're all, it's very warm memories. Until they find the drawing of an old cabin. And Kay says that, you know, it used to be on the property when my parents moved here, and my great-grandfather lived there. It was sort of like a cabin that he stayed in. He lived there.
Kay's great-grandfather.
Okay. Yes, yeah. So her grandfather, when her grandparents moved in, they moved in their father, and he lived in this separate cabin on the property that doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
And Kay says he lived there until the end of his life, and there were a lot of stories. Well, anyways, I was just happy to see it go. Truly, the biggest dodge. Like, I feel like that's what a mom thing to say. We're just sort of like, well, just alluding to something horrible and just keep it moving. Sam looks at the drawing and sees that the cabin has that very unusual octagonal window, right? The one that's in the door downstairs. And she says, oh, that's the same window. It's like, yeah, actually, when they tore it down, they took some of the gorgeous stained glass windows and, like, really interesting doors and stuff. So we rescued some of those pieces and they put it in this house. So we've taken a cabin that with obscure and presumably malevolent energies and put it into the main house. So we've brought over the window, which now is the eye of the house, you know?
Yes.
Kay tells Sam that she's going to go in the morning to Melbourne, where they live. So it seems like it's a couple hours away, and she's going to look at a retirement facility. Sam immediately is like, you can't do that. She should be able to die in her house. Like, you should stay here.
Well, not if she's going to keep disappearing like this.
Exactly. That's what Kay says. It's like, we can't be here all the time. You're working, I'm working. Right. And Kay says, Sam says to Kay, well, why can't you just have her move in with you? Kay says, first of all, you know she doesn't want her to. But also, she says she needs to be watched. Like, it's not an issue of where she's physically living. She needs somebody here all the time. And she says, I need you on my side for this. And Sam sort of begrudgingly, like, okay, you could go tomorrow. I'll watch her. And, like, we'll talk about when you come back. In the night, Kay hears Edna moving around the house. And she gets up. And as she approaches her mother, who is standing facing the front door, we hear Edna whispering, I don't hear anyone. You're scaring me. It's no one.
No.
Kay approaches her mother and seemingly approaches her from behind. Or does she? We think that Edna's facing away, but in fact, she lifts her hair and she's been walking backwards toward the front door.
Why?
A great shot. A great image. And Kay says, reasonably enough, are you okay? Her mom doesn't answer. So she takes her mom to bed, and when Edna gets settled down, that's the moment for the trailer where Edna tells Kay, it's here. It's under the bed.
Yeah.
Kay reassures her there's no one under the bed. Edna says, could you please just check? Could you just check for me? And again, in this way, the mother becomes the child.
Yes.
You know, like, could you just play? I know, probably you're right. Maybe you can just go ahead and make sure no one's there. She barely bends down. And so it's like, oh, it's fine. And Edna says, you didn't look. So Kay has to actually get down on her hands and knees and see something moving under the bed. However, Edna at that moment knocks her book off the bed and it startles Kay, and Kay hits her head on the bed frame when she sits up.
Oh, God.
And then immediately starts accusing her mom of dropping it on purpose so she does not engage with the moving shape under the bed. So I think we're to think this is a family where, like, all of these things that are unsaid, they will remain unsaid. I'm not going to, like, they're never going to spell out exactly what's happening. But just the fact that, like, you're seeing something horrible with your own eyes, but you are instead going to lash out at your mother or lash out at a family member because presumably you were raised in a home where that kind of thing was happening.
That's what it was. That was the pattern.
Yeah, whatever that means, it's not explicit, which I appreciate. Like, you are then to draw these. Like, they already saw the mold on the walls. They already heard the knocking.
They watched
the walls.
Dry cleaning breathe. Like,
they've already seen all these things. Exactly. So, again, another moment of, like, we're seeing it. We're reacting. The actual people in that scenario are not reacting correctly, right?
Yes.
So in the morning, Kay drives to Melbourne and meets sort of the intake nurse at this retirement facility, which, honestly, God, we were talking about living together. I'm ready to do it. Like, like a door where they have events that you could just go lay down. That's all I want to do anyways. That's fine.
My aunt lives in a retirement assisted living, and it's like they have a saltwater pool. They have a movie theater. They've got, like, it's like, yeah, this is great.
I guess it's sort of like, to me, I love being around people so much. I understand people might not like it as much as me. I'm a true extrovert. But when you're older, especially, just to have the option to see people, you know, you don't have to hang out with everybody all the time, I'm sure. It seems nice.
Yeah.
And they tell her, the rooms over here on this side have ocean views. And then she looks out the window. And there's like a teeny tiny sliver of the ocean, but you can see it.
Hey.
And as Kay's sort of, like, there, she starts to, of course, backtrack. She's like, I don't know if my mom really needs all this yet. Like, she's still, like, lucid and stuff. And, you know, what they should have said, well, maybe it's because it's not America. But I was like, I think you probably, it's like preschool. I feel like you have to put her name in now. And then, like, six months, a year, 2 years, maybe a bed opens up.
I mean, the crisis that's coming in America. No one's talking about that or doing anything about it. It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah. My parents, I already told them. That that they're going to be sleeping on my couch or my one of my siblings' couches.
Where are they going to, where is there to go?
Right. Like, it's like, you're, I'm going to put you in a big Tupperware container and slide you under the, you're going to be sleeping under the bed because that's the only place. Or I'll sleep
under the bed. Something under the bed. Mom and dad.
Yeah. Like, I, like the idea that they put her in a facility, frankly, sounds like a treat. You know?
I know.
So she leaves. Of course, Kate cries in her car because it's a big decision and it's really hard. And Sam comes back from the grocery store to find Edna dancing to her records. And she says, dance with me, Kimmy. And Sam says, what? And she says, dance with me, Sammy. And she teaches her granddaughter to cha-cha. So they have, like, a very warm, like, loving family moment. And so Sam decides to ask, well, you know, Grandma, why doesn't Jamie from next door come over all the time? And I think the implication is, like, he grew up there. They know him. He came over to help or, like, to play or all the time. And Edna says, oh, the retard. Oh, no, Grandma. Sam's like, well, moving on. How would you feel about moving? How would you feel if I moved to town? You know, and Edna says, why would you want to do that? Why would you move to this little town? And Sam says, well, I mean, to help you. And Edna starts to get panicked. She's like, well, where would you live? She's like, well, I can live with you. You have all the bedrooms. Edna flips out. She's like, is this your idea? Is this your mother's idea? You know, I'm not a project for you to take on, you know? And Sam says, well, it's better than an old folks home. That's where my mom is right now. It's like, okay, well, you could have told her. Again, don't tell her in the heat of a fight. Like, bring it up at a neutral time and discuss it. Not, well, you have to let me in or we're going to send you away. Terrifying, you know?
Yeah.
Allison, Edna sees the her wedding band, which we just saw her give Sam on Sam's finger, and freaks out and accuses her of stealing it because she doesn't remember the exchange. And basically reaches over and tries to wrench it off her fingers. That hurts Sam's feelings. She's distraught. She takes it off and kind of like slams it on the ground, then goes upstairs to take a bath. While she's bathing, Sam hears a sound and sees feet standing outside the bathroom door.
No.
And as she's listening, she starts to hear nails dragging themselves down the door. Presumably her grandmother's, but again, not entirely sure.
Who knows?
Finally, this sets to Sam off that something is wrong, right? It took to this, where someone is clawing at the outside of the bathroom door. Later, Kay returns. They're making dinner. And Kay finds her old school reports in the trash that had been in the junk room. And she says, did you mean to throw these out? And Edna says, well, I have to throw them out. I have to make room. Sam's moving in. I have to clean that whole room out. It's better than Melbourne. Of course, now Kay's realized that Sam told Edna about the retirement home, and now Edna's mad about it. That night, Sam looks out the front door window, the octagonal window, and sees black mold around the frame. And she finds Edna whistling in front of the walk-in closet we saw earlier, which is standing open. And Edna tells Sam,
I thought this was where it got in.
Who?
Whoever it was coming into the house.
What?
Sam says, okay, so that's why you installed all the locks. And then Edna says, actually, I'm really glad you're moving in, Sammy. I think I need someone here. But it is funny when Sam's like, so now you're going to live in this house where something's happening or...
Right.
Or
it's like, just no one should live there.
Yeah, 100%. And so, of course, Sam closes the door and locks it. In the night, Sam wakes to hear rhythmic thumping. To me, it sounds like somebody is fucking. So I was like, what would be a fucking twist? Like, all of a sudden, like... Graham was having sex with a devil or something. And I will say at this point in the movie, I did kind of need something to happen. You know, I did kind of, we're kind of.
It's been pretty slow, at like chilling, like it's small. We need big.
Yeah. So
Time for big.
She finds the washing machine and it started chugging along. Who turned it on? You know, there's something inside of it. Meanwhile, we are find ourselves once again against in Kay's dream. Watching her mother through the window of the house, the front door with the octagonal window stands open. And again, she sees her mother sitting on the edge of the bed. This time she's not nude. She's in her, you know, dressing gown.
Great.
And she falls off the bed, slumping again to the side of the bed. And when Kay peers over the bed, and she sees not her mother's body, but a mold stain in the shape of her mother's body.
Oh, God.
And we see the mold has reached up all the way up to the ceilings. It's covering every surface in the dream.
Burn the house down. Even if you're imagining that that's what's in the house,
get out
burn
of it. Yeah. In real life, Kay's eyes shoot open as she hears her daughter's voice ring out, calling for her. She gets up. She looks in the bathroom. Nobody's there. And here I wrote, it's around about this point where I am going to need something to fucking happen, you know.
Yes.
In the morning, we hear Edna, she's carving her candles again. And she's talking to herself and says, they look like Kay and Sammy, but it's not them. It's not them. It's somebody else. They're pretending to be Kay and Sammy. I think that they're waiting for me to die. And they'll dump me in the ground to rot.
That's where dead people go.
Yeah, I mean, where are you going to rot? You might as well rot in the ground.
Who cares? You're dead.
It's just a little more polite. You don't want to be rotting on the bus. That's a whole seat someone
could
be using.
That's rude.
Sam walks in and sees that her grandmother has cut her fingers, like, carving candles. Mm-hmm. But when she goes to help her, Edna, again, thinks that she's taking something from her, lashes out, sort of starts slashing the air with her knife, and chases Sam out of the room, saying, this is my room, this is my house. Sam finally decides, I'm going to go over and talk to the neighbor about what happened with Jamie. Because this all seems like maybe this has been happening a little bit longer than we knew. And that seems like the first time I'm hearing about it, right? So Sam goes over and talks to Alex, the neighbor, about why his son Jamie sort of has been keeping his distance from Edna. And we find out that he and Edna would he go over there, they would play hide and seek sometimes.
Okay.
And one time he hid in the upstairs cupboard.
Okay.
And then she locked it from the outside.
Ah, not great.
And as you can imagine, when Alex couldn't find his son, he panics. He goes over there. And when Edna comes to the door, she says, I don't know where he is. I'm sorry. And he could hear his son screaming upstairs.
That's so scary.
It's awful. And he's like, so no offense to her. Obviously, we're happy to keep an eye out for her. But we're just, you know, keeping an eye out. And Sam says, this is a very funny just keep distance. This is a very funny moment where Sam says very sincerely, like, I'm really sorry Jamie had to go through that. And it's like they weren't sure exactly how to end the conversation. Because Alex goes, okay. And he just walks away. And you'd think he would say, be like, well, thanks for coming over. Like, let me know if you need anything. It's just sort of like, okay. And then walks away.
That's so funny.
But he's smiling. Like, he doesn't seem upset. He's not saying it to, like, blow her off. He seems fine. Like, it's just very funny. Like,
okay.
Listen, I'm assuming he's Australian. They must be like that.
Yeah. That's an Australian thing.
In the morning, we see Kay is sitting in the living room, and she's making a list of, like, what would they have to do to the house to keep the mom there? So it's, like, locks on the doors for sure, but, like, guardrails on the outside of the tub, like, more railing on the porch. You know, like, if we're not going to send her to a retirement facility, we still have to upgrade this house so she doesn't escape it and she's safe, you know, because it'll be more and more of an issue. Unfortunately, while she's making this list, she looks outside and sees her mother in her nightgown hauling ass into the woods. And she's like, come on, we're already in the woods again. She chases her mom down and finds her behind a tree eating photos out of the photo album.
Eating?
Eating family photos out of the family photo album.
That's a texture I never want in my mouth.
Chewing them up, swallowing them, ripping them up. Kay tries to stop her, but Edna bites her hand and says, I'm still your mother, Kay, before grabbing the photo album and storming away. And Kay tries to, like, pick up the torn, chewed up photos. And unfortunately, when she goes to pick one up, we see it's also covered in the same black mold that has infiltrated the house.
Yes.
And when she finds her mother a little distance away, Edna has dug a hole in the ground to put the photo album in.
Great.
And Edna tells Kay, I think it's going to be safe down there. And Kay says, well, what do you mean safe from what? And Edna says, I don't know. Edna tells her daughter, I hate that stupid window in the door. I hated it the entire time. Maybe it's just been weak enough and it couldn't get me. And now I'm alone and I'm weak and it's strong enough to get me. I wish I could bury it so it can't get at me. Kay, of course, like, wait, what are we talking about? You know what I mean? Like, what are we saying? And Edna starts sobbing and just saying, I just want to go home. I just really want to go home. And Kay finally says, well, then come home with me. Come live with me in Melbourne. We'll figure it out. You don't have to be alone. I'm sorry. I should have invited you earlier. And Sam will help. And I'm so sorry you were here alone. And Edna nods, but she's worlds away. And Edna says, where is everyone? And Kay's like, well, I'm here. Sam's here. We're here. And she goes, but where is everyone? And she's crying. I know. And Kay hugs her. We see Edna's nails are stained with blood from her hand bleeding earlier. Upstairs, Sam goes into the walk-in closet, walk-in cupboard, which she is now properly freaked out by. And we see on the inside of the door, there are scratch marks where Jamie, in a panic, clawed at the door to try to get out. Allison, Sam walks to the back of the cupboard and realizes it just keeps going.
What does that mean?
So she continues to walk down the hallway.
Oh.
She's walking into the bowels of either an extension of the house or a mirror image of the house that is now is also covered in mold. So covered in black mold. And as she goes, Sam sees all these boxes. So more and more boxes, more and more things of life, more of these things collected throughout the family's life, and more specific post-its. So one says, my name is Edna. One says, my mother has green eyes. Sam, who now has picked up a flashlight, keeps pressing on. And as we see, again, the walls are more and more spotted with mold. They're becoming soft. And it's like there's a whole other house inside the cupboard. And she hears a scratching sound. And finally she says out loud, fuck this. And when she turns to leave Allison, there is no door behind her.
No.
It's just a wall. Allison, I gotta ask, who will survive?
Who will survive?
Okay. I think Graham is gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sam and Kay are gonna live.
Okay, great.
And I would like the house to die.
Wait, say it again.
I want the house to die.
You want the house to die. Okay, great.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Sam whips out her phone, as you would, and sees there's no service and starts freaking out. She's screaming for her mom, screaming for her grandma. But downstairs, all you can sort of hear is like the muffled, like little muffled noises, which you've all been hearing the entire time. And so I think now it's when we realize like, okay, so this is what happened to grandma. This is what happened to Edna. She also became trapped in the house. And now Sam is as well.
Okay.
So Sam has disappeared. Night falls. Kay is starting to panic, and she's like, well, she wouldn't have left without her stuff. Her stuff is still here. And, you know, she's trying to talk to her mother, calm her down. She says, you should try to eat something. And her mother turns and looks at Kay with this look of complete loathing. Like, in this moment, she hates Kay so much. And she stands up and starts walking away from the table when she starts peeing on the floor.
It's a move.
Kay takes her, puts her mother in the bath, and starts running a bath. And as she lays there, we see the bruises on Edna's sternum have started to spread across her chest and arms. And as she scratches them, we see that the bruises are actually soft and full of holes, like a mold. Like it's soft as she claws into her chest. Yeah.
I don't want that.
I don't like it at all. Meanwhile, downstairs, Kay goes to get a mop to clean up her mom's pee, only to see the pee is shot through with black. Like soot or smoke. So she's peeing out the mold as well. Oh, also, Sam, her daughter, is trapped in some sort of moldy mirror version of the house upstairs.
No.
And keeps writing more and more notes. The handwriting's getting worse, ostensibly, like example of like Edna's declining mental health, yes, but also being trapped there as the physical manifestation of this. And in her handwriting, it says, it's here. The walls are moving. Where is everyone? Kay comes back upstairs and pounds on the bathroom door, which is now locked. And we're sort of seeing these parallels. Sam walks further into the mold house, which is completely dark. It's rank. The ceilings are getting lower and lower. And she hears something behind her. Sam drops to all fours and starts frantically crawling forward. Poor Kay is outside the bathroom calling for her mother. Her mother can't open the door. Even if the door wasn't locked, like she can't get up. You know?
She can't.
She's not in a good state. So poor Kay gets on a step stool and sort of looks in. There's like a little window that you can open over the bathroom door. Mm-hmm. And she sees in the bathroom mirror across from the tub, her mom is taking her candle carving knife and is just carving into her chest.
No.
Kay screams and falls off the stool, and Edna finally opens the door. But her chest isn't bleeding. It's just a black mold spore now. Like, it's just entirely black. And we see that the tub is overflowing, as we saw at the beginning, as Edna walks out, and it short circuits the space heater. And so now the lights are also out. The power has gone out in the house. And the water eventually starts dribbling down the stairs. Kay's panicking. She lights a candle. She finds her mother, and her mother is now absolutely trashing her room, breaking photos, glass smashing, which is all completely dark. Okay. So we're getting these like flickers and candlelight of Edna freaking out.
Ugh.
And now we see Kay finds herself at the open cupboard. The door is now open. She, of course, doesn't know that Sam is in there. So we come back to Sam. Sam's crawling, panicking. Basically, it's like the size of an air duct now. Like she's, it's not a hallway. She's crawling as it gets physically smaller. And when she turns back, the hallway, it ends right behind her. So it's not even like a cupboard or anything. There's nothing behind her.
Oh, God.
And the ceiling.
This is my claustrophobia nightmare.
Exactly. It is very effective. Like, and it, I do feel like it's like, where it's like, this is one thing where it is very hard to describe, where it's like, you are watching it entirely for the physical idea of I am in a mold-filled, ever-shortening space that I am panicking within. Thinking quick, though, she's able to kick through the walls are very soft because of the mold. She's able to kick through the wall and then crawl into another hallway. So she's still in this hellscape, but she's not being
crushed.
Okay,
but at least she can stand up.
Exactly. She could stand up.
Okay. Well, that's huge.
Meanwhile, Kay walks into the cupboard and finds her mother in there as well. And she's crouched.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm, she's crouched sort of at the end of a hallway. And when Edna turns, she is taking her knife and stabbing into her own face. And you're not going to be surprised by this. Instead of blood or muscle, it's just black, spongy mold inside of her face.
That's so gross.
And she stands. And when she stands, her shin shatters through her skin. Like her skin tears open like paper. And the bone that juts through is black with mold. So it's like her bones are even black. And Edna says, "You're not Kay." Back in the mirror world, Sam struggles through another filth hallway, which is still full of boxes. And now the water from the tub in real life is manifesting in this other world. So the water is spilling down. So now that's why you're getting all this mold. And I'm telling you, there's so much water damage in here. You got to clean up this nightmare world, get rid of this mold. She finds a pipe on the ground and starts beating through the wall to try to escape. And she finally breaks through into the actual living room. So she breaks through above the fireplace where they heard that first knocking, right?
Yeah.
And she manages to knock her grandfather's urn off the mantle. Symbolism. But just as Sam is about to crawl through, she hears her mother screaming and realizes, oh, my mother's in this space here too. So she does the right thing. She goes back in and she finds Kay, who's running, and says, she's not mom anymore. And we see that Edna has turned into sort of a screaming, mold-covered version of herself that is now hunting them.
Is awful.
Unfortunate stuff. Kay and Sam run back to the mantle, and they're taking turns breaking through the wall. Kay's got it, and she's hammering through to widen the space to crawl out. And Kay turns to see Edna crawling through a doorway on her stomach and standing to attack. And just before she can, Kay shoves Sam through the door, through the gap in the wall, shoves her into the actual living room. Edna attacks, and Kay has to fight her off. Kay is able to get into the living room, but of course, mold monster Edna follows them. And she attacks her daughter and granddaughter, and her daughter has to beat her with a pipe to get her off.
Oh, my God. Like, my mom jokes to me all the time that she wants me to kill her her life gets bad. Like, she's like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to have a very low quality of life at the end. Like, just wrap it up, like, kill me.
Sure.
I hope it isn't like this.
But what I would say to your mother is, has she met you? That's not like my mother. I mean, maybe she thought it, but she would ask somebody else before me because I tell you right now, I couldn't do it. I can't do something like that.
If she criticizes me before she needs me to do it, I think I could get there.
Okay, that's smart. That's smart. She has to have a plan.
Where I'm like, tap into your most critical.
Ooh, okay. And then you're ready to go.
You'll lead me right to smothering you.
Put a pillow in your hand. That's a great point. So Kay has to beat her mother with a pipe.
Ugh. I don't want to beat my moldy mom with a pipe to end her life.
We could all agree on that.
I think no one wants to do that.
Yeah. Well, at least poor Kay, no one listening, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it falls to the ground, and as they watch, she starts to wither into a husk of her former self, starting to dry out. And they start to leave. Sam's sort of rushing her mother out, and Edna calls out Kay. And she turns to see next to her mother, who is sentient and breathing, but she essentially looks sort of like a crypt keeper version of herself.
Yes, of course.
And next to her is a poster that says, "I am loved." A reminder that she is loved. And Sam goes out to the porch and was like, "Come on, it's not her anymore." But of course it is her. And Kay tells her daughter,
"I can't leave her."
"What? Please don't. I'm not bad anymore."
And she shuts the door and locks it from the inside so Sam can't get back inside before returning to her mother. And now she must tend to her as she sort of succumbs to the mold. And she is now the corpse that Kay had been seeing in her dreams, like the mummified version, still breathing.
Yeah.
So Kay picks up her mother and carries her to bed. And instead of like undressing her or cleaning her, she slowly starts peeling off her mother's skin to reveal sort of a jet black mummy version of her mom inside.
Ugh.
A mold mummy in both senses of the word.
Mummy.
And she kisses her mom's little mummy head. And she turns to see Sam has gotten back into the house and she's waiting at the doorway. And Kay lays Edna down and kind of spoons her in bed. And Sam joins her laying behind Kay. And as they lay there, three generations, Sam looks and sees right at the edge of her mother's neckline is a little tiny spot of mold. Mm-hmm. And we end with a shot of the mold covering the octagonal window in the front door. The relic. The end.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chilling ending.
Good stuff. Great
with
stuff.
With the spot of mold on
mom.
That really, it hits.
It hits. Yeah, it was a great one. Visually very terrifying. I thought it was really wonderful. What are some fatal mistakes you think people have made in the movie Relic?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, obviously dealing with your family
trauma
is the root of this. So, you know, therapy, communicating, all of those things. In the more specifics of the film, burn the house down. Mm-hmm. Like, why was the house still standing? Like, I don't need this house. I mean, I know that it's also hard. I'm like, is it the house?
I think it's not the house. I think it's like the family.
Like, yeah.
So I think even.
So like, even if she had gone somewhere else.
Yes.
This rot was there.
Yeah, because, like, I think that it blurs...
I still think they should burn the house down.
I mean, anybody as well at this point. But, yeah, it blurs the line between, like, is the family thing just a degenerative... You know, like, is this something degenerative within the family? Are we alluding to abuse? The only thing that made me think of that it could be both is that all the characters, including the characters who are in... Like, if Edna sees something that's not there, that makes sense. Like, Sam and Kay have multiple instances where they see something that they do not react to like we do. So that makes me think, okay, so you grew up with some level of...
Seeing things. Yeah,
something is wrong in the house. And also Kay's general attitude towards her mother and wanting to come back to the house and sort of the reticence around that. It's like, okay, so something was up in the house. But in the end, you know, they held it together, barely, because mold does not hold together. Very well.
If it falls apart.
But they come back and they care for her. So I think it's a very lovely ending in the end, just knowing that, like, yes, Sam, you will have to deal with
your mother.
When she becomes a mold monster in the end.
You're probably going to have to peel her skin off, too.
Yeah. And isn't that family? Is that at the end, when you turn into a mold monster, you know, I'll help you peel your skin off.
Yeah. We'll do it in the commune. It'll have less trauma.
Exactly. Well, it'll be nice. You know, it'll just be funny when all of us become a mold monster at once.
And there's no one to peel our skin off.
Exactly. Well, yeah. We'll have somebody come by and help us peel our skin off.
Yeah. We gotta. Well, look, there's going to be a lot of planning involved in this. We should probably start now.
And then finally, where would you place this movie on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think this is a 7 for me. Mm-hmm. Well, not a lot of... Well, it takes a while for, like, big stuff to happen. Like, the overall, like, tone of the film is very scary. And is, like... And I think also, like, those, like... When things are kind of unexplained, it almost feels scarier than if there was, like, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, if it's, like, super spelled out, sometimes you're like, okay. But this just kind of, like, overall sense of, like, this is it, and this is what's happening. And no, we're not going to, like, walk you through what it is. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, that is, for me, a 7. What about you?
I agree. I do, because I'm definitely someone, and I think this is the American in me, I always want things to be spelled out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I think, given that they didn't, I thought the visuals were really compelling. I thought it was really chilling. I do think that I maybe needed, like, another fucked up thing to happen. You know, because I feel like the last half, I wasn't really afraid. Like, I knew, because it was an allegory, because it is about trauma. Yes. I knew that we probably, almost everyone would make it to the end. So there was kind of a lag in terms of scariness, just because I was like, you know, it's not like the mom's going to slowly murder them. Now, that would have been a twist, but that's not what this story was building up to. So I'm going to say a 4. Beautiful visuals. Yeah. All the acting was great.
That feels
and
right.
And it was more of a rumination on aging and family and that kind of thing, which I did enjoy, but was not in of itself particularly scary for the most part.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But yeah. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for Mummy Month.
Yeah. We've got more moms headed your way all month.
Please sign up for the Patreon if you haven't already. And if you do already, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
We love you. You're keeping us.
You're top of the pops to
you're
us.
You're keeping us going here. And again, that is patreon.com/ruinedpodcast. That is the correct website. We were right. So, and I guess we got to ask if you would please just
keep it spooky. Don't forget to follow us at Ruined Podcast and Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok for show updates. And if you're just as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.